Will you pray with me? Oh Lord, on this glorious, glorious night, Lord, we see that you are risen, and it gladdens our hearts. And we thank you, Lord, that though you are ascended to the right hand of the Father, you have not left us as orphans. You have given us your Spirit. And so we say, come, Holy Spirit, come and fill this place, fill each one of us to overflowing. And Lord, speak through me now that my words would be your words and your truth would be spoken, heard, and received deep in our hearts here tonight. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Sorry, I got to pick off the wax on my hand. Does anybody else have wax on your hand? So I feel like more than ever before, I'm hearing this phrase from folks. I'm so overwhelmed. I'm so overwhelmed over and over. Why is that? Well, it can't be that life is just harder these days. I mean, I believe the writer of Ecclesiastes who wrote, there's nothing new under the sun. I think that's probably true. Ever since the fall of creation in the Garden of Eden, things have been toil and pain and sweat on the brow for every generation of mankind. It may manifest itself differently in each era, but the overwhelming reality is the same, the very same. Just look to the reading we heard from Exodus 14 as Pharaoh with his horses and his chariots and his horsemen and his army all are overtaking the people of Israel, and there they are. They're encamped on the shore of the Red Sea. The vast sea on one side of them and the bloodthirsty Egyptians rolling toward them on the other. In the grip of fear, they say to Moses, is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? What do you think? Were they overwhelmed? Yeah. Seems like they had their own rather panicked and shrill version of the phrase, I'm so overwhelmed. Just read the Psalms, and you'll see that King David was no stranger to the drowning sensation of being overwhelmed. Just as he's under the assault of the murderous King Saul, David writes in Psalm 69, save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters, and the flood sweeps over me. And David is also ever in touch with the overwhelming flood of his own sin. He writes in Psalm 38, verse 4, for my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. Even in the New International Version, this is how it's translated. My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. Those biblical figures were overwhelmed. And there are plenty of others down the ages that I'm sure were equally overwhelmed. I know George Washington had to have been overwhelmed as his army was freezing and starving at Valley Forge in the dark days before the French intervened and turned the tide of the Revolution. I know Lincoln, and Davis, and Grant, and Lee must have been overwhelmed by the blood and carnage as the country was torn apart in the Civil War. I'm sure that Frederick Douglass was overwhelmed by the scourge of slavery that was at the heart of that devastating war. I know those in the greatest generation were overwhelmed by the dust bowls and food lines of the Great Depression and the rise of the Third Reich. I know that every generation has been overwhelmed. But somewhere along the lines, a message was sent that one shouldn't admit it. And so when we think on that history, So often we think of heroic defiance in the face of evil, or stoic courage and perseverance in the midst of profound hardship. And as you look at portraits and statues and black and white photographs, do you think of those figures being overwhelmed? Not often. And I think stoicism is a problem. I think it's dishonest and ultimately misleading. I mean, let's be honest. We are overwhelmed all the time in every generation. So why not admit it? But it seems that we are over that stoicism now, and we're more like the Israelites, perhaps on the shores of the Red Sea. And so we readily declare, I'm just so overwhelmed, and it's everywhere. The week before last, I was crying out myself about how overwhelmed I am. I was out at Edisto Beach on my annual Lenten prayer retreat, and I had 15 pages of prayer requests, multiple names on each page, and those multiple people on each page were asking for prayers for multiple people, and so by the time it was all said and done, I had a multitude of people for whom I was praying. And then I started thinking about my own prayers and needs, the things that I would have sent to somebody going on a prayer request, and eventually I was overwhelmed by it all. I mean, you just look at those pages and you know life is overwhelming. So sure, the stoicism is largely dissipating. There they were, 15 pages of prayer requests. But there's another problem that seems to be replacing it these days. So we can admit we're overwhelmed, but then what? We just sit there in that gathering gloom and engulfing flood For some, that's exactly what they do. Maybe that's some of us here tonight. But what did Moses and David do? When they were overwhelmed, they looked to God as their refuge and strength. They called out for salvation from the one about whom David writes in Psalm 93, verse 4. He is mightier than the thunders of many waters, mightier than the waves of the sea. The Lord is on high. He is mighty. So after a few hours of praying through all those requests, tired and overwhelmed, I got up to take a walk on the beach. And it was getting towards sunset. And the part of the beach where I was staying actually faced west, and so the sun was setting over the water. And the wind was intense. It was causing my pants to whip against my legs. It was high tide, so these large waves were violently crashing on this ledge that had been formed by countless tides coming in and out and beach erosion, wave upon wave. Just rolling in. And my mind was still awash with all the pain and the struggle in those prayer requests. And the many burdens that I was carrying for my own family. And I said, how, O Lord? The words weren't even audible as the wind just sort of stole them. Just as I uttered them. But somehow they made it to his ear. For in that moment I heard the Lord speak. He said, see the waves? Look as far as you can. I made each one. And I know each one intimately. And then I looked down at the sand where I was standing, and there, stretching out for hundreds of yards, were a series of thousands of little ripples in the sand that had been created by the wind. And they looked like a miniature ocean. And the Lord said to me, see those ripples in the sand? Try to count them. You can see my design style, can't you? I made each one. Just like the waves in the ocean, I know each one intimately. And then I looked over to my right, and I saw a big, old, dead tree in the surf that had drifted up to this beach. Its giant, massive roots just sort of splayed out facing me. So who knows how long that tree had been drifting before finally landing at that spot. It was all covered in barnacles. And I heard the Lord say, I knew that tree when its very first shoot of green broke the casing of its acorn. And I knew the tree that dropped that seed when it was an acorn. And I've known every tree in that tree's family tree down the ages. And as the sun was making its way over the horizon with dazzling pinks and oranges and purples covering the sky, as sort of an aside, the Lord said, oh, and that sun, I spoke it into existence and tossed it into the sky. The Lord God, the Ancient of Days, was meeting me on that beach and showing me that by his very nature as the omnipotent, the omniscient, eternal, and transcendent one who is over all things, he can't be overwhelmed. Well, you might say, well, that's good for God. But I'm still overwhelmed. I'm the one drowning. My mouth and my nose just barely above the water. What I really need is for you, God, the one who can't be overwhelmed, to pluck me out of these waves and take me to that high place where I won't be overwhelmed anymore. Friends, he has heard our cry. And it is a greater rescue than even the Israelites experienced through the Red Sea or that David experienced from the arrows of Saul. He who is over all things, the one by whom, through whom, and for whom all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, he has heard our cry for rescue. And you'll never guess how he rescues those who are overwhelmed. That same omnipotent and omniscient one has laid down his heavenly crown and come to earth to walk the same path we walk in this fallen world, and to face all the same waves that we face. And his name is Jesus. And he is God. And we know that because he walks on the waves. He sleeps in the bow of the boat in the midst of the storm. And then tells the wind and the waves, hush, be still. And they obey. But the miracle is that he's also human. He thirsts. He weeps. He laments. And then after living 33 years in the same fallen world in which we live, he sets his face towards Jerusalem. And in that week we remember and call holy he, the beloved and only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ. Dare I say it? Could it be true? He is overwhelmed. And we see it, don't we? In that upper room, as he breaks the bread and lifts the cup Judas's hand touches his as they dip their bread at the same time, and as he strips down and kneels to wash his disciples' feet, he's overwhelmed. And then perhaps most vividly, as he falls to the ground sweating blood and pleading with his Father that the cup of wrath might pass from him, he is overwhelmed. And as he is bound and drugged to the high priest, and is interrogated and beaten and spat upon, he is overwhelmed. And as he faces Pilate and hears his jaded question, "What is truth?" he is overwhelmed. And as his back is ripped by the cat of nine tails and is mocked with purple robe and crown of thorns in the praetorium, he is overwhelmed. And as the people shout, "Give us Barabbas, crucify him," he is overwhelmed. And as the nails drive into his hands and feet and he is lifted up and hang from that tree, he is overwhelmed. Oh, he is overwhelmed as he chokes out, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And he gives up his spirit and is overwhelmed by that which overwhelms all of us the most, death, death itself. And the place of the skull is overwhelmed by darkness and rolling waves and quakes of the earth. And then his body is laid in a borrowed tomb. And a great stone is rolled across the entrance, and the final overwhelming shroud covers Jesus. But what good does all of that do? Doesn't the fact that he was overwhelmed just tell us he was human like the rest of us? What about the Ancient of Days? Is he not God Almighty, this Jesus? What would happen if the one who is over all things were to allow himself to be overwhelmed? Look to the morning. Look not to the sunset. Look to the rising sun. Look to the rising of God's Son. John describes the Son of God beautifully in the first verses of his gospel, does he not? He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." And hear this, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it," has not overwhelmed it. He has burst his 3-day prison. He is risen. He has overcome. It turns out that when the Son of God is overwhelmed, it is an overwhelming force that wipes out all other overwhelming forces. He was overwhelmed for the overwhelmed. He was overwhelmed for you, so that you do not have to be overwhelmed by anything ever again. With the exception of being overwhelmed by his marvelous light, his steadfast love, his never-failing mercy. He has heard your cry. He's heard our cry. The risen Lord has heard our cry. He is alive. He is alive. Nothing can overwhelm that. Amen.